The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. It's good to be back home. My children and myself lived 10 years in Krefeld. So we called it unsere zweite Heimat. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we are going to reflect on a powerful and profound moment from the book of Acts that Tony read. In this book, where Paul and Silas, having beaten severely, find themselves in prison, enduring suffering for nothing other than preaching the gospel. What we see here is not just an ancient historical account, but a life-changing lesson about how God's presence and how His power and our faith in Him can shape even the darkest moment of our lives. In a world that often feels overwhelming, unjust, and filled with suffering, Paul and Silas show us how to respond when we find ourselves in the depths of despair. Let me mention 5 points what Paul and Silas were experiencing. Number one, the reality of suffering. Paul and Silas' experience begins with intense suffering. They are unjustly beaten, imprisoned, and placed in stocks, all for doing something good, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This reminds us of a painful reality. Suffering is universal, even today. We all face trials in life, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. Like Paul and Silas, we might sometimes find ourselves standing up for what is right, only to be met with hardship and persecution, even in the 21st century. The suffering that Paul and Silas experienced wasn't isolated to their situation. In our lives, we encounter suffering in many ways. It might be a health crisis, the loss of a loved one, or a struggle with relationships. Maybe it is the pain of living in an unjust world or facing a personal challenge. And yet, like Paul and Silas, we are reminded that even in these darkest times, God is still present. Our suffering does not mean God has abandoned us. It means we are invited to rely on His presence even more deeply. The second point which I would like to take from this text is praise in the midnight hour. What is remarkable is the response of Paul and Silas in the midst of their suffering. At midnight, after being beaten and imprisoned, they begin to pray and sing hymns to God. Midnight. It represents the darkest hour, and yet, even there, Paul and Silas choose to praise God. This is a profound lesson for us today. In our darkest moments, even today, when everything seems hopeless, we still have the choice to praise God. How often do we forget to praise God when things aren't going well as we think? It is easy to get lost in the pain and the frustrations of our circumstances, to focus solely on our suffering. We are blind to the other thing. But Paul and Silas teach us that praising God in the midst of suffering can transform our hearts. When we praise God, we align ourselves with His will and we open ourselves to the power of His deliverance. Praise is not just about what is happening around us. It is about acknowledging who God is in the midst of our trials. He is worthy of praise, no matter our circumstances. And when we choose to worship, we invite God's peace, hope, and power to flow into our lives. The third point, God's power in the midst of trials. Trials are not just the end of the world. As Paul and Silas prayed and sang, something miraculous happened. An earthquake shook the prison, and the chains fell off, the doors opened wide, and the prisoners were set free. What is incredible here is that God moved in a way He could. This earthquake wasn't just a natural event. It was a display of God's power. It showed that God is capable of shaking the very foundations of our lives. We live in a world where systems of injustice, oppression, and pain often feel unshakable. It can seem like the struggles we face will never end. But the story of Paul and Silas reminds us that God is in the business of shaking things up. He can break chains, open doors, and transform situations that seem impossible even today. Whether it is a personal struggle or societal injustice, God's power is greater than any obstacle we face every day. We may not always see how God is working in our circumstances, but we can trust that He is always at work. Just as God intervened in Paul and Silas' situation, He can intervene in our lives. He can intervene in the wars in Ukraine, in Gaza, in Africa, everywhere, and bringing freedom and change in ways we can't even imagine. That's what I learned today from this text. The fourth is, and very important, the jailer's transformation. But the story doesn't end here. The jailer, upon realizing that the prison doors were open, feared that the prisoners had escaped and was about to take his own life. In the Roman world, the punishment for jailer's failure was severe, often leading to death. But Paul's voice calls out to him, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." This is a moment of grace. The jailer, in his despair, hears words of hope and salvation. In that moment, Paul and Silas offer him not just physical safety, but the message of the gospel. The jailer, trembling, asks, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul responds, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." This is the heart of the gospel. Salvation is available to all, regardless of their past or present positions in life. The jailer, a man who once held power over others, was now confronted with the love and mercy of God. He too needed salvation. Salvation is not limited to certain groups. No one is beyond God's reach. The hand of God is longer than we think. It can reach every corner and can enter in every situation. Whether we are in a position of power or in a place of deep despair, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ is for all. In our world today, many people may seem unapproachable, tough on the outside. Some of the dictators of today say they block everything. But I assure you, inside, they may be struggling with fear, pride, or despair. Like the jailer, they too can experience radical transformation when they encounter the love of God. That is my wish for them. Call them Putin or every people who have power to conduct wars against innocent people. Children are dying, and that is not God's will. The last point in this text is the power of community and a new life. After the jailer and his household believe in Jesus, they are baptized and they became part of the Christian community. The jailer, once an instrument of oppression, is now a participant or in the relationship, in the fellowship of believers. This transformation illustrates the power of the gospel to not only change individuals but also communities. The gospel does not just save us, it creates new communities of faith. The jailer's home became a place of celebration and joy as they all come to faith in Christ. This is a powerful reminder that our faith is not meant to be kept to ourselves. It's meant to be shared, celebrated, and to build up a community of believers who support one another through the trials of lives. That's all about what Christian church means. I would like to conclude this text by sharing my personal story, which I might have said some years ago. From 1974 up to 1991, Ethiopia was under communist regime that was openly hostile to Christianity, especially evangelical Christians who were suspected of being agents of Western imperialism. In my province, Wollagaw, west of Oromia, there were about 600 Protestant churches. All were closed. Some of them were burned down to ashes. Pastors were imprisoned, and Christians were persecuted for their faith, for doing nothing. At that time, in 1983, I just finished my first study from theological seminary, went back to Dambidolo, and I began to conduct underground church, preaching the gospel in secret. Then the security agents discovered us, and I was arrested together with 30 other Christians. The first 11 days was hell on earth. Every night, midnight, we were beaten severely. Our backs, I was young, but there were among us some old elderly people who were really beaten. They didn't deserve that. I could endure because I was young. After 11 days, six of us were sentenced to prison, 4 months. Prison doesn't mean what you see here in Germany or in America. The Ethiopian prison is a notorious prison. We were placed in a prison so overcrowded that 80 prisoners had to sleep in one room with no sanitation or necessities. You can imagine. It appears that there was no end to this suffering. That was our situation. But in that prison, we did what Paul and Silas did. We sang Hoites Cantata today. Singing is, it really helps, I tell you. I have experienced where people doing everything, their business at the corner, 80 people, 6 people, who were ready to die. We were encouraging each other through our singings. And just as God shook the prison in Acts, He really intervened in our situation. 4 days before our sentence ended, in December 1983, the court ruled in our favor and we were released. God had shaken our circumstances and we were set free. I don't forget even the pain we had and the joy we had at the end. God shook the world. He can do it today also. In closing, the story of Paul and Silas shows us that suffering is a part of human life, but it does not define the human being. Our response to suffering matters. We can choose to praise God in the midst of the darkest moments, and God has the power to intervene and bring transformation. Let us trust in His power to shake the foundations of our lives, private lives, our world, and may we, like the jailer, ask, "What must I do today to be saved?" and respond with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Cantata. I remember what we were singing, and I will try to sing now what we were singing 1983 in Ethiopia in prison. You may not understand, but I just try to translate, and it says, to be a Christian does not mean only to celebrate, but also to suffer like prophets and apostles. I will sing in Amharic, not in Oromo. I don't know, Jane, whether I have sung this song. That doesn't matter. It's long ago. I may sing. It says in Amharic, Waga yaskafilalina kristina ganaminu tayazina yaabatoche wagaiche yenabiyatina yahawariyatin suwata tiche. Samtachwa, yeah? We haven't first-handed, but he's mine. Let me see. Waga yaska filalena Kristina ganamino tayazena ye abato chenwa gaite ye nabiotina ye hawariate sawata tiche shilematen ikabalalo ganawaga ikaflalo waga yaska filalena Kristina ganamino tayazena ye abato chenwa gaite ye nabiatina ye hawariate sawata tiche shilematen ikabalalo ganawaga ikaflalo shilematen ikabalalo ganawaga ikaflalo. May God bless you. Amen.